Hello and welcome back. This is Module 2, Lesson 2. We're going to take what you just started to do with clarity and pre-assessing the task and start applying it to assessing the task. This is the first major step in the cycle. This is when you start to dig into the project. It's also a step that most people briefly touch on before they start to dive into the project mindlessly. The reason why this is important is because we're going to start planning. Our goal of getting a raise, good grades, getting to vacation on time is just a goal. But a goal without a plan is just a wish. We all know this. We all experience it yearly with our New Year's resolutions or whenever you make a promise to yourself that's very vague. The most infamous, perhaps, is I want to lose weight. Okay. Noble cause, but that's a goal without a plan. To make it a plan, you might say something like, I want to lose weight. I want to lose 5 pounds a month. Excellent. 5 pounds a month for a year. That's great. That's a plan. You can refine the plan and make it more doable by saying something like, I will lose 5 pounds a month by walking 4 to 5 days a week. Brilliant! That makes it something tangible, so you know that 4 days out of seven, you need to get up and walk. If you're lucky, 5 days out of seven, you'll get up and walk, especially when you're feeling well. Now, you can make it even more defined by saying, I will lose weight by exercising 4 to 5 days a week and eliminating some or all of the refined sugar in my diet. That is a very solid plan that makes the goal doable. And it's not just a wish anymore because it's a plan that you can apply and do. But sometimes that's difficult, really. I mean, who wants to give up chocolate bars and hot chocolate and ice cream, and all those delectable treats that we so crave from time to time. But you've already started to gain clarity. Remember him? If you don't, go back to Module 2, Lesson 1, and go gain clarity. But if you do remember him, keep on listening. The first step is motivation. So we're going to apply this to the weight loss thing. Why would you be motivated to lose weight? To look good in your skinny jeans, so that way you have more energy. Finding your motivation and remembering the why helps you stick with it. Even when it's 2 weeks in and that New York cheesecake is calling to you, you have to remember why you started and think, but I said most to all, so I can go ahead and treat myself once and then not beat yourself up about it. Your expectations is how much you can hold yourself to it. So in this case, it would be like, I expect myself to have an iron will. It might fail, or you might succeed, depending on your personality. But your expectations are that maybe you say, I want to have a cheat day once a month, once a week, every 2 weeks. Whatever your expectations are, you can stick with it. That helps refine that second loop. And your desired outcomes? To have lost 5 pounds a month. And if you lose more than that, do you celebrate? Damn right you do. But do you take the next month off? Not necessarily, because then you could actually have gained 7 pounds between 1 month and the other. And that's no fun. So gaining clarity helps you not to backtrack as well. And this is part of assessing the task. And when you get that clarity, you move on to the next step. You gather or the checklist of everything you need. So in my case, with this lecture, with these classes, I needed to make sure that I thought about things from your point of view. I thought, if I was them, and I'm wanting success, and I'm willing to put forth the effort and skin in the game by putting money in, what will help me pass? What will help me really get the most out of it? What kind of things do I need the teacher to have? Well, I prefer to use things in lecture form, these PowerPoint slides, with an overview. Because I like things to look at. And while I'm listening, I like to crochet. But that's not always possible. Sometimes I need a way to plug it into my headphones and then take it on a walk with me, or on an airplane when I'm traveling. And it helps to have a downloadable MP3 or file that I can use to listen on the go. So that would help. But more importantly, I need a way to force me to learn the tasks. Listening is all fine and good, but you don't learn anything unless you've applied it. Applying actually helps more people than just listening. But when you listen, you write, and you apply, that is when it comes in handy. So to do this, I knew that I needed the tools to record an audio, record the screen. I needed to make homework files that would help you by both reinforcing, by having you write down notes, as well as having you practice the skills therein. So that way you could really, really get the information and start applying it for yourself. To do this, I had to gather the information. I had to gather the tools that I need. I had to gather outlines. I had to make a lot of different things and take into consideration this magical thing called life. I know we've got a few things coming up in life. We're heading out to a conference in the middle of the month, and I wanted to make sure that I worked around that. So I've scheduled that in. There's family time. This is nearly Mother's Day, and I know that's coming up, so I have to schedule that part in as well. These things are called life and chaos, and you need to schedule them in, so you need to get a list of everything that's going to go on, things that you need to make sure that you can succeed. That's just a checklist. Now, it'll be about time to apply it, right? Hold up. Grab your favorite brew. I've got my tea right here. A pen, paper, chair. We're going to organize that chaos first. When you're taming chaos, you often see this. A dirty, dank, foreboding maze, full of ivory climbing on everything, making things disorienting and more than a little confusing. But with planning and clarity, you see the maze from the top view. You can see all the hazards, all the shortcuts, and most importantly, the way out. It works like this. When you're looking down at things, you could say, oh, I've got a wedding to go to, my kid might be getting sick, so I'm going to make sure that I schedule extra time in there. And, oh, but I can cut off some time there to make up for that. And the end result, I could still reach by the deadline with the accolades I want, and it'll be fine. That's what it's like taming the chaos with a maze like this. Or, if you prefer, a map. You're going to build a map with mile markers and landmarks to keep progress. It's like this, literally. Wiggly, kind of, you know, we've got lots of options, lots of distractions, things to do along the way. But your goal is to make it from North Carolina on 43 or 143 all the way to the Teleco Plains. And depends on how long you've scheduled yourself to be out for on vacation that you could do this. Perhaps you have to get from North Carolina to the Teleco Plains in 24 hours because you have to catch a flight home. To do this, you might, you know, leave North Carolina early in the morning. Hopefully you're a morning person and you don't take too long, and then you can meander through and stop at Turkey Creek, where they've got a restroom, picnic, and a photo opportunity for lunch, and then continue on. Or perhaps you decide that you want to do more hiking and you want to try something a little bit different. So you might leave North Carolina even earlier and then possibly stop at the Grassy Gap and take a hike and then stop at Turkey Creek for lunch. And then you want to go to the Teleco Plains. Or perhaps even more, you like boating. So you would go from North Carolina, stop for a quick early lunch, the picnic, and then head out on a boat at the Oosternet Creek, and then hit the Teleco Plains by the time you need to check in to your flight. Or Maybe you're the type of person that likes to really plan ahead and give yourself 2 days, so you decide that on day one you only need to make it to the Indian boundary campground for the night, and the next day, teleco planes, and check into your hotel, or however you have it set up. Then you can take your time on the first leg of the journey and the second leg. Life is like that. It's wiggly, there's lots of distractions, there's lots of options. But when you build a map and you make it purposeful with your motivations and your visions in mind, you can keep track of things. The mile markers fly by and you can keep eyesight on the landmarks without getting distracted by every shiny along the way. And to do this, there's a really simple straight line method. No wiggles, because life already has enough, so when you're planning, make it straight. Make it easier on yourself. Start at way. This is how most people get their assignments. Teacher hands you assignment, boss hands you assignment, client approaches you. They say, start this project with, finish the project with, you know, good grades, a potential raise, you know, a new testimonial, glowing one, hopefully. Then you think, okay, I start the project, finish the project. That's a recipe for disaster. We've talked about that. First of all, what's your goal? What's your motivations? What's your desired outcome? What's their desired outcome? What are the expectations involved for both sides? And then you could say, okay, what are the landmarks to get me there? A classic example, and one that everybody can understand, and also one that everybody's done at some point in time in their life if they've gone to school, is a research paper. So you have a project. You start the project and you finish the project. So you might say, week one, by the end of week one, I need to get the research materials. By the end of week three, I need to have all of them read and notes in order. Sometimes that worked for me, other times it didn't. But I was very good at skimming information and skinning it out of the book generally. And then I could put them in order and make a decent enough argument. By week four, I'd write the paper and it was usually very bad because I needed to do a little bit more work in the grammar area, double check the spelling, and the transition statements from paragraph to paragraph needed a lot of work. But it was only week four. I would give myself a full week to edit the paper. And then finally, I could put it in the done box before it was due and finish it with accolades. The goal was generally to finish the project with at least an A. You know, I wanted an A, but at least a B would work. My expectations? That I would get the thing done. The teacher's expectations would be that I understood the project. And the landmarks to get me there were pretty straightforward and easy. Most projects can be done like this. And that's because you've started off with the clarity. You know what you're going to do. You know how you're going to get there. You know the motivations and expectations and outcomes that are wanting to be done and met along the way. So what you need to work on then is making sure that you tame the chaos by putting in life. This is what it would be like in a perfect world where nothing comes up. But let's say, research one, I was feeling gung-ho, and I got all my research materials by the end of day one. I've got 6 full days to be on my own. Do I really want to wait all week to do it? Or do I want to have the research, get a head start on the research materials and notes? This is when you would think about scheduling in chaos. Back then, when I was doing research papers for university, I was always busy. There was always something I forgot. Some teacher would assign homework to me, I would forget to write it down, only to remember 3 days before it was due, and then I would have to scramble to get it done. So oftentimes, I would schedule that in a scheduled chaos. That was my time on the weekend to get more things done, and I would take the time to apply myself there, versus during the middle of the week when I was generally taking it a little bit more easy between classes, because I was already stressed from paying attention to lecture. Some people, on the other hand, are more responsible, and they will start doing the research notes right away. They won't wait until the beginning of week three. They won't wait till the end of week three like some people do either. How you go about this is what's needed to tame the chaos. You need to start thinking, okay, I have 2 children. I have a car that's on the rocks. I have a job to fulfill. What do you need to do to make sure you reach your goals? That defines how you take care of the chaos and tame it. You simply look at it going, I need to get, as much time ahead as I can because my kid has 3 soccer games in the middle of week 3. So I can't wait till week 3 to get started on the research. That's how you plan in the chaos. Is you take this general outline and you pencil in things that you know are necessary and work around them. Remember, this is about living life while getting these done, not about getting the projects done and running on somebody else's schedule as well. It's part of the fun of things, but it's also the challenge. When you do this, you're reaching new milestones. Because life isn't narrow. It's very curved, it's very wiggly, it's very chaotic. You're thinking about how to get a project done with accolades. But schedule in chaos. Schedule in time to be with your family. Try to remember that nothing works out exactly as planned. When you do that, reaching new milestones becomes easier because it seems more effortless when you say, I'm ahead. But I'm not going to take the downtime because I want to spend time out with friends at a cocktail. I want to go to my son's birthday party. I want to go to my daughter's soccer game. Whatever it is that you need to do, schedule around it. Because that's part of the joy of life. And it's part of the motivation that you're living for. And for every project you reach, you finish, and you obtain even one expectation, even one outcome that you had planned, you're reaching a new milestone in your life because you're going, I finished this. I now have the belief in myself that I can repeat this and I can do it again and again and again. That's the part of growth that's beautiful. And it's also part of the standard of belief. You believe that you are intelligent and capable of doing it. And then you reinforce it by doing it because you've planned and you've actually accomplished the various things in life that you want to do while taming the chaos of projects. This homework problems, this homework training session, you're going to be planning out your mind. You're going to be looking at the pre-assessing and you're going to start looking at how you're going, your motivations, your expectations, and the outcomes that you want. And making an idea of how you want to make that apply to the project that you've got in mind for this class or one of the pre-assigned, one of the pre-packaged ones that we've got in the bottom. With that, you will go on to assessing the task. I expect to see some emails, please clarify this, can you explain that, etc. That's part of the communications. I'm expecting it and I'm hoping you do. I didn't purposely be vague, but at the same time, when it comes to this sort of thing, vagueness is part of it because you're not necessarily thinking the same way the other person is. So don't be afraid to ask questions, whether it's a boss, whether it's a client, whether it's a teacher. It's a time to practice asking, what is on your mind? What do you mean by that? To be able to gain clarity. And then you'll be starting the process by planning out and making yourself a map. Point 1, point 2, point 3, when you want to set the deadlines for, etc. And by the end of it, you will have a finished project, but just not today. Today is just up to that planning part where you make your map. You make decisions. You might make 2 maps. Plan A, plan B, and then see what needs to be done in life around the chaos. With that, I wish you luck in the homework assignments. If you have any questions, use the contact me form, contact the instructor button, or you can email me at gconyers, C-O-N-Y-E-R-S, at insanitech.net. See you in module 3.